Hi, hi. The episode that follows is part of a 7-episode series on the trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow. Spoilers abound. Be sure you've watched the movie before listening. It's very, very trans, so beautiful and so important, but it is very emotionally heavy. You'll want to be in a good headspace and heart space before watching, and be sure to have someone to hug after. Onward we go. Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Tilly Vision has achieved liftoff and we're headed for the stars in the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow, Part 2. We're starting to explore our transness but have no idea what that means. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, my adventuring partner as I explored my own transness, Susan Bridges.
Hello!
Our returning guest is Lila Sturges, the writer of numerous comics such as The Science of Ghosts, Slumberjanes, The Magicians, Dune, the movie, graphic novel, and a whole bunch of other stuff. She lives in Portland, Oregon with her wife and a three-legged cat named Greg. Welcome back, Lila.
Hi, it's been so long.
I enjoyed that little dance you were doing as I read your bio.
Thank you. I like to, like, you know, I like to get work, you know, get my energy up for these.
Sure.
Get
sure.
Hype.
So I like to do a little dance before I start a podcast.
All right. Let's dive right back in. We are going to pick up right after where we left off in the last episode. So we're at 6 minutes and 56 seconds. Owen, are your parents voting too? Maddie, no, Miss Driscoll lets me use the dark room after school, so I'm just waiting for my pictures to dry out. This exchange is so elegant and brilliant in what it conveys. The metaphor lets you instantly know Maddie is further along the transition path than Owen is. She goes to the school, but he's just visiting, and she works in a dark room. What color is a dark room? I know, film is so super old school. The kids may not know. To develop photo prints correctly, you cannot have bright light, and so they're done under a red light. Danger. So while Owen is searching for answers and is curious about himself and his transness, something within him sees a trans person further along the path, and it's setting off alarms and warning bells within him. And that's kind of how it is sometimes when you start to realize, because society teaches you that it's bad and wrong and weird and gross to be trans, and maybe you panic because, oh God, what does that say about me? We'll talk a whole lot more about how those thoughts get inside our heads later on, because Owen's going to find out too. 7 minutes, 12 seconds. Owen, that looks like the best book ever. I mean, there's his interest in his own transness stated plain, super text. Maddie, do you watch? Are you trans? Owen, no. Incorrect, buddy. But we tell ourselves that a lot early on, even while simultaneously seeking the answers that would prove it wrong.
I think it's also important that Owen is just, he's attracted to the shape of whatever it is. He's attracted to the color of it. He doesn't even know what the show is about. But he knows that it means something really, really important. And that's why I think that line makes sense when he's like, that looks like the best book in the world. Because to him, it's like, that's the book that has all the answers.
Right. Uh-huh. And it does.
And it does. Yeah.
8 minutes, 5 seconds. Owen, what grade are you in? Maddie, 9th. A freshman. Freshman, perhaps. But freshmen are new. So while she's ahead of Owen, she's still fairly new to it herself. Maddie, what about you? Owen, 7th. Still not to the beginning at grade 9 and not even on the cusp of it yet.
Maddie says, oh my God, you're just a baby.
Yeah.
When he says he's in 7th grade, which to me is the most, like, such a thing you would say to a, like, a baby trans person.
To a baby, we call them baby trans, yeah.
Yeah.
We even call ourselves baby trans when we're baby trans. I'm just a baby trans, I don't know.
Yeah.
8 minutes, 41 seconds. Maddie, election day is cool, right? It's like Colonial Day, or when they bring the inflatable planetarium into the gymnasium. It's like the school gets transformed into something else, you know? It's special. This is absolutely key to remember when we get to the actual inflatable planetarium near the end, because Maddie tells us that it's about the choice you're making to transgender form yourself and how special it is. 9 minutes. Owen, it's a kid's show, right? The Pink Opaque? Hey, transness is unserious, a goofy fantasy. This was how Owen was initially taught by society to think about transness, and it will come up again. Maddie, no, no way. Who told you that? 9 minutes, 16 seconds. Getting confirmation that Maddie sees it the same way he does. See how quickly he changes his tune. Owen, I see commercials for it all the time. It looks amazing. He sees transness in himself all the time, and it looks amazing. And with another trans person, he feels safe to admit it. Maddie hands him the episode guide. And look at the shot when he grabs it and starts reading it. Look at him. He's got his back to the Fruitopia vending machine, close to his transness but not acknowledging it. And he's facing the other vending machine, which is all green, dysphoria. He can't see his transness because all he sees is his dysphoria. Maddie's the opposite. She's turned her back on her dysphoria, which doesn't mean that she doesn't have it, but it's not controlling her. And she's facing her transness head on. There may also be something to the way the Fruitopia machine has such clear, pronounced reflection in the floor, and the snack machine has almost no visible reflection at all. Dysphoria prevents us from seeing our true reflections in mirrors and photos, making them incredibly difficult for many of us.
Reflections are important.
Yeah, they
are. Reflections are going to come
always.
Back. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But embracing our transness can, hopefully, lead us to seeing our true reflections. See more on that in the Trans Tuesday on photos and reflections at tillystranstuesdays.com. 9 minutes, 50 seconds. Maddie, it's the last show in the block before they switch to black and white reruns for old people. Those are the people who don't believe in transness and only see in black and white. You will be unsurprised to learn that The Matrix and Barbie both also deal with people who only see in black and white, also known as the false cis binary, also known as the false dichotomy. I did a whole episode about it. Go check it out if you need more. Owen says he's forced to go to bed before the show comes on. His parents are keeping him from his transness, and I cannot tell you how often cis parents do this, often without even consciously realizing it. See the episode on gendered childhoods. 10 minutes, 32 seconds. Owen laying on the back seat of the car. Green lights are all over, but there's plenty of yellow and even red. Why? Because he asks if he can have a sleepover at, quote, Johnny Link's house. A lie, but it is his link to seeing Maddie, the Pink Opaque, and his transness. His mom says he has to ask his father. He asks his mom if she'll ask his dad for him. If you read his parents, as I mentioned, his access to his own femininity and masculinity, this is basically saying that to access his transness, see the show, his femininity, mother, needs to get permission from his masculinity, father. When I was living a horrid, painful lie, trying to be the cis man society said I was, in order to start exploring my transness, my false masculine side had to relent enough to let me explore femininity, where I found my transness. I think that was all pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I think this scene really had a really powerful effect on me because it brought to mind a lot of stuff from my own childhood.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important that everyone is afraid of the father, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just that he's masculine. He's frightening.
Yeah.
And the mother is afraid of him. Obviously, Owen is afraid of him. And he's a threatening figure, and he's never not threatening. So I think there's something to be said about that.
You know, it also reminds me of very literal experiences I had as a kid. Like the one that comes to mind is I remember being in a department store or something, and I was looking through the toy aisle, you know, like you do when you're a kid. Can I go see the toys? And my mom came to get me, and I said, can I get this Wonder Woman action figure? And I was told, no, that's for girls. You know what I mean? It felt like I was just trying to access a tiniest bit of my femininity, and my parents would keep me from it. So I totally, it resonates a lot. 11 minutes, 43 seconds. As Owen's mom's face turns towards Owen's father, it's bathed in blue. She despairs at his masculinity having all the power. 12 minutes. Owen sits at the top of the stairs listening. We only hear his mom saying he's old enough and a good kid. His femininity is fighting for him. 12 minutes, 15 seconds. There's a dark, pinkish light behind yellow fog. Fear is obscuring transness. There are more chalk scribbles on the street, and the ghost looks angry now. Owen's going to explore his transness, and though intensely curious, he's mad about it. Because why, right? Why do we have to do this? We never asked for this. Why is this happening to me? Neo goes through a very literal, vocalized version of this in the first Matrix, and so does Barbie in Barbie. 12 minutes, 27 seconds. Owen walks between the green grass with his pink sleeping bag to Johnny Ling's front door. He's carrying his transness with him, but dysphoria is everywhere. Sleeping bags keep you warm and make you feel safe whenever you have to sleep outside of your own bed. Acknowledging your transness can do that too. There's a calming sense that comes with being self-assured in who you are. 12 minutes, 52 seconds. Owen fakes ringing the doorbell because he's going to Maddie's and Johnny Link is just his cover. But it's important to realize that in order to access his transness, he has to lie to his parents. So many of us have to find times and places to explore ourselves away from our own parents, because what would they think, say, or do? Every time I so much as explored the tiniest shred of my complicated gender feelings as a kid, my mother yelled at me, forced me to stop, told me I could not, ridiculed me. It's a very sad reality for a lot of us, and an even outright dangerous one for some.
I think it's really important that Maddie has this space in her house that is parent-free and that allows for a kind of the kind of exploration that Owen simply can't
do.
He
can't get at home. Or anywhere else.
And that in some ways, like, Maddie's parents are scarier, but also Maddie's parents are more absent from the film.
Yes.
So
you never
I
see them.
There's this interesting tension where, like, the farther you are along in this journey, like, the stakes get higher, but also, like, the noise starts to recede.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot to think about in terms of, like, how visible each of their parents are.
Yeah.
And what's going on there.
Yeah, and the noise starting to recede, this movie handles very literally in the form of static, which we will talk about a whole bunch because it appears a lot. 13 minutes. Owen's mom's in a pink and blue shirt when dropping Owen off. I think this signifies Owen's transness is his femininity, and that makes him despair because he doesn't know what that means or what to do about it. 13 minutes, 23 seconds. Once his mom is gone, Owen leaves, walks over the green grass under blue sky. Dysphoria and despair surround us. The sleeping bag of our transness is all rolled up and trapped in the middle. Thunder rumbles. A storm is coming. Accessing your transness in depth for the first time can sure enough feel like that. 13 minutes, 45 seconds. Owen knocks softly. Maddie also has to hide her transness from her parents. And the rain has started. Now we're in it. 13 minutes, 50 seconds. There's pink on the TV as Maddie talks with Amanda. Owen comes to the back door because transness must be kept secret from those who would harm us over it.
I think it's important what Maddie and Amanda are talking about when Owen shows up, which is this very, like, teen girl. It's like almost like this idealized version of, like, young teen girl. Like, well, who would you marry? Oh, Evan Dando, he's cute. You know, it's like, it's incredibly, like, over the top girly in a way that, like, Maddie isn't.
No, but Amanda is we're going to talk a lot about her and that.
Well, Amanda
that's
is
a good observation.
Amanda is a very important character because the actress who plays Amanda doesn't just play Amanda. And I think that's really important.
Oh, no, I missed that. Who else does she play?
She plays Mr. Melancholy.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's interesting.
Wow, that is fascinating.
Although I think just to comment on that, be like this very gendered girly sort of conversation following from Owen parental stuff. Like parental relationship is very traditional. Is very like, and you could even make an argument that, you know, the scary, angry, masculine figure is what is an idealized form of masculinity.
Sure.
And Owen is so completely,
I mean, quote unquote idealized.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But still, like, it's almost like this is expected.
Yeah.
And Owen is nothing like that. And that's important too.
Mm-hmm. It is. 14 minutes, 27 seconds. Announcer. And now a brand new pink opaque. The light from the TV turns pink, and there's a green fish tank behind them. Look at Maddie's clothes and how kind of gender-neutral they are. They're also baggy in the way many of us trans folks used to hide our bodies from ourselves pre-transition. Amanda is much, much more feminine in presentation.
Traditionally feminine.
Right. Note the looming dysphoria of the large fish tank behind them. They're both dealing with it, but facing their transness. But that it's right over Amanda's head, however, is another important detail to remember for later. Also, if Amanda is also trans, is that her name because she's a man? Duh. I mean, probably not, but that thought made me laugh. Owen, is it okay if I come sit down? Gosh, that transness sure is interesting. Can I explore it too? 14 minutes, 39 seconds. Isabel, on the TV. Tara is my imaginary best friend, and I'm hers. We met at sleepaway camp. Owen is right now at a sleepover, and Tara is Maddie. And they're imaginary best friends because right now all either of them can do is imagine their true selves. Discovered we had an ancient psychic connection. I kind of think all trans people do. We see the world the same way. Again, referenced by earlier mention of the friend I had a connection with and found out later on we'd both transitioned.
I think there's also a subtle joke here in that the phrase sleepaway camp is kind of a giveaway about as a reference to the 1983 slasher film Sleepaway Camp, which is
I've not
very,
seen it.
Very famously a big, hot, transphobic mess. And,
oh, no. Now I will never see it. But thank you for that bit of info.
Well, I did. You don't have to watch it because you can watch a, you can listen to an episode of the Out to Get You podcast that I did with my good pal, Margot Mutter, where we talk about that film and what it means to trans people. And I think the chance that Jane Schoenbaum isn't referring to that film here, I think is like zero.
Yeah, you're right. If it's a very transphobic film, then I'm sure it was very intentional.
Because everything about The Pink Opaque, like the world building of The Pink Opaque is so wacky.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, the thing that really kills me is the insane visuals of The Pink Opaque and that they are across the county from each other. They never meet each other. They're just across the county.
The counties aren't that big.
They
need LA is, but
well,
different.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, note that Maddie is super into it, but Amanda seems kind of bored. Remember how close her head was to the green dysphoria of the fish tank. Her dysphoria is perhaps winning. This is foreshadowing what happens with her later. Now, even though we live on opposite sides of the county, we help each other fight the forces of evil, which is also known as transphobia, both internalized and externalized. Important to note, they have to help each other do it. This is why trans community is so vital, because we can often see internalized transphobia in each other that we cannot see in ourselves, and then help each other fight it. And if you need more on the evils of internalized transphobia, you bet there's an episode about that too. Of this show, not The Pink Opaque. 14 minutes, 55 seconds. As Owen approaches the TV, his face becomes more and more pink. We are The Pink Opaque. We are trans. You are too. 15 minutes, 2 seconds. We get our first shot of Isabel, the true Owen, walking in a green forest, surrounded by dysphoria, looking scared in a pink shirt. Owen worries even if he could transition to his true self, it wouldn't make the dysphoria go away, and it doesn't always, sadly. 15 minutes, 7 seconds. We get our first shot of Tara, looking very gender neutral, face lit in pink and looking up, hopeful and determined. Maddie's entire outlook right there. Transition is the way forward to better things. 15 minutes, 9 seconds. Look at this shot of Maddie and Tara's heads together, holding hands with their pink opaque ghost tattoos on their necks. Community, solidarity, together in their transness. It's showing you how connected the two of them are and how every trans person is connected to every other.
It's also just kind of super gay. That's the thing.
It is. It is also that.
Yeah.
15 minutes, 20 seconds. Two guys sitting on a curb, pink chalk scribbles all over the street in front of them. Note how chaotic the chalk scribbles are here and how little to no blue is in there. Owen's head is a jumble, but it's all focused on his transness. Quote, the last sprinkly stick of the summer, and they're blue popsicles. Transition can lead to a lessening of despair. What a bummer. Definition of. It's not fair, man. Why does the winter have to be so cold that you can't eat ice cream during the winter? You know what I wish? I wish the ice cream man didn't have to leave when the weather got cold in the winter. When despair is all you've known for your entire life, the thought of it lessening or leaving can actually be scary, although that feels counterintuitive. But when it's all you've ever known, moving from it to something new and better can be really overwhelming. 15 minutes, 53 seconds. There's a shot of a kid sitting on a blue bed with a clown on it, blue curtains behind him. Quote, I wish he never went away. Our despair is safe, right? Not in a way that protects us, but in a way that is known, familiar. And it's too easy to get lost in it and think that's all there is, or that's how it's supposed to be. Even worse is that's how transphobic society wants us to feel and teaches us is normal and no big deal. Certainly not enough of a problem to do anything about. 1558, we see Mr. Sprinkly, the creepy ice cream man, dripping everywhere, holding a double blue popsicle. His eyes are blue. His suit is red. The walls are yellow. Danger, despair, look behind him, dysphoria, despair, and fear clouding out transness. We learn he works for Mr. Melancholy, who is transphobia. He speaks in static, which is what transphobia uses to fuzz our heads, block our hearts, keep us from ourselves. Worth noting that I've heard many trans people say that their dysphoria was like living with a constant loud static in their head, obscuring and covering everything. But ice cream is supposed to make you happy, right? And bring you joy. But when you're living with dysphoria, even the things in life that should bring you joy are tinged with sadness and awful, crushing despair that's obscuring the truth of your transness and the true joy you should feel.
It's also disgusting. I think that's something that is really important about the Ice Cream Man, is that he's very disgusting and gooey. There's this viscous liquids are
pouring out of him.
Pouring out of him, and viscous liquids are something that we will come back to. Most importantly, moon juice.
Yeah.
Luna juice. So I think that we got to pay attention to when we see viscous liquids, because they're gross and they mean something to this film.
They sure do.
Mm-hmm.
The birth of my son, the original wedding with my lovely wife, Susan, here, were the happiest days of my life at the time, but were still entirely miserable because I felt so bad due to my dysphoria. Relatedly, now that my dysphoria is all but gone, we redid our wedding and the difference for me was night and day. So please see the episode on a trans re-wedding. It was very geeky and Star Trek-y and wonderful. 16 minutes, 10 seconds. And so now this is where we get the clearer shot of that ice cream truck from the opening shot. The green dysphoria on something that should bring you joy is obscuring the pink of transness. Further, the pink is smoke that's rising. Dysphoria can set fire to your transness and ruin any chance of you ever finding that joy if you let it. And as we learned from that opening shot, this is the path Owen is on. This is where it will lead him. Maybe. 16 minutes, 35 seconds. Owen watching Amanda smoking outside, a large green sign right under the window. See how Amanda cannot escape her dysphoria, foreshadowing. Maddie, you can go out and join her if you want. Owen, no, I don't smoke cigarettes. Maddie has to tell him it's not a cigarette, it's a Black and Mild, because Amanda's much cooler than that, or Amanda wants to appear that way anyway, which will again be important to remember for later. Look at how both Owen and Maddie are wearing drab, baggy clothes to hide their bodies.
There's something I wanted to point out about Mr. Yes. Melancholy, who is introduced in that previous segment.
Yeah.
That he's described as always messing with time and reality,
yep.
Which is super important. And that is something that dysphoria does in spades. And it is what makes Owen such an unreliable narrator.
Right. And the movie expressly deals with a very surface level of his issues with time and the passage of time and how it seems to him. And we will talk about that when those come up as well. 17 minutes. Maddie, are you sure you don't want to ride home with Amanda's mom? Owen, I told my parents it was a sleepover. I have to maintain the lie or I will get caught. And then he lays down under the green dysphoria fish tank. 17 minutes, 27 seconds. Maddie, Isabel's a scaredy cat. She's kind of the main character, but she's also kind of a drip. Are you listening, Owen? Find your courage. Don't give up. Tara's my favorite. She's super hot and doesn't take shit from anybody. Plus, she's an expert on demonology. Tara is Maddie's ideal self, how she wants to think of herself and who she wants to be, and she's an expert on demonology / transphobia. Maddie, each episode they help each other fight a new monster from across the county. Owen, okay. Is the ice cream man in every episode? There's only one way transphobia affects us, right? Maddie, no, that's just a monster of the week. Lol, no, sorry, kid. There's hundreds of ways transphobia Fs with us, and we gotta fight them all every week. Mr. Melancholy is the big bad, the man in the moon. He's always messing with time and reality. He wants to rule the world, to trap Isabel and Tara in the Midnight Realm. So each week he sends a new supernatural foe their way. Important to mention here that the Midnight Realm is where Maddie and Owen already are, but don't realize it yet. The pre-transition waking death we find ourselves in and think is just how life is supposed to be. Owen, because they're part of the Pink Opaque? Maddie, no, because they are the Pink Opaque. Owen is confused. Right. Sorry. 1904. Maddie, don't apologize.
This is one of my favorite lines in the whole film.
Yeah.
It is the first time that anyone has given Owen something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the first time in the film that Owen has received a gift, and it's the gift of, like, belonging. Maddie is reaching out across this void and saying, don't apologize. We're together. I'll help you understand this. And I think when I first saw that scene, it made me tear up. I thought it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I think it's also the thesis of the entire movie, and it's something that every trans person needs to learn. Society tells us that our transness is wrong and bad and a burden and weird and sick and awful and a mistake and not real all at once. They make us think it's something we should apologize for. Do not. We are real and valid, and we deserve to live our lives as our true selves in peace, just as every cis person does.
And unfortunately, it's something that Owen forgets by the end
of
the film.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah.
Or at least rejects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 19 minutes, 20 seconds. Owen asks if it's okay for him to sleep there. Maddie says yes, as long as he's out by dawn. Because if her stepdad catches him, he'll break her nose again. Being caught exploring her transness at home is met with violence. This is a very real threat many trans kids face. You can learn more about the prevalence of it in the Trans Tuesday episodes on the 2022 U.S. Trans Survey results. 19 minutes, 33 seconds. Maddie turns out the light. When the only other trans person he knows leaves, Owen is left in darkness, with only all that green dysphoria hovering above his head. 20 minutes, 5 seconds. Maddie. Sometimes, the pink opaque feels more real than real life, you know? Because the quote-unquote real life of forced cisgenderness is living a lie that makes the world feel broken, yeah.
This is a beautiful moment when she says that, because I think it works not just in terms of the allegory, but in my own personal journey, when I was, you know, really starting to struggle with thoughts about gender that I didn't realize I was struggling with, that was when I discovered Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
And I completely threw myself into that world. And I just watched those episodes again and again and again. And it was, in so many ways, it was like preferable to reality.
Sure.
Like the world of Buffy. Because in the world of Buffy, you get to be beautiful and kick-ass, and in reality, you don't get any of that, right? So
yeah, and there's also very clearly defined, like, evil. You know who the bad people are. You can fight them when you know them. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's a lot to be said for, you know, sometimes, like, things do feel more real than real life. Sometimes the things you escape into literally feel more real because you just wish they were real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes, 18 seconds. Taper by Maria B.C. plays, and the lyrics sure read like a person dealing with their transness and succumbing to dysphoria. Look at this choice bit. Oughta make my peace and douse the fire. When the night's so deep it breathes, when the night's so deep it tapers every desire. And so then, of course, we get to 21 minutes, 7 seconds. Adult Owen looking into the fire again, contemplating his trans fire within. 21 minutes, 15 seconds. As Owen walks home, there's the despairing blue sky, the dysphoric green grass, his despairing blue flannel, his trans and his rolled up back in the pink sleeping bag. But now, there are some pink clouds, fighting back against the despair. Look what hanging with one trans person and exploring his transness has done for him already. 21 minutes, 30 seconds. We see Owen walking, surrounded by green, fading into Isabel walking, surrounded by dysphoric green, but she's happy at the end and running out of it, with a smile, looking upward, hopeful. His first time exploring this side of himself, and he thought, Maybe I can get there and leave the dysphoria behind. The importance of this shot is showing you Owen wants to be his true self and leave dysphoria behind. But that's so much easier said than done.
Oh, can I just throw in one more little bit of
Yes,
trivia?
do.
This is a little bit of Buffy fandom trivia, which is that when we are watching the beginning of the Pink Opaque episode,
Yeah.
The font that the credits are shown in, that they display across the screen, is the exact same font that is used in Buffy for that purpose.
Amazing.
So it's very deliberate. It's
Yeah,
deliberate
yeah.
to the point of ham-handedness. So I think there's something, I think the Buffy connection means a lot to a lot of trans people.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who were way into that show for, yeah,
yeah.
Probably the same reasons you were. Well, we're going to leave it there for this week. Be sure to come back next week. We've got so much more to go still. Thanks for being here, Lila.
Thanks for having me. I can't wait to do it again.
Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/tillysbridges, and on Insta and Threads at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
All right, Jillian, cut it out.